you will just go through the motions for a while, but that's okay. You need time to grieve, or you need time to process like everything that's happening in your life.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Society Says podcast. I'm glad you're here listening again yet another week. So I'm here with somebody that I go not way back, but it feels like way back because we lived in Thailand together for a short while. This is Chris that's joining me today. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah. It's nice to be on the podcast. My name's Chris Altamare. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, Staria and I spent some time teaching English together in Thailand, which was a blast. And I'm an education major here in Boston.
That's awesome. Wait, I don't know if I've ever asked you, did you go into education because of Thailand, or did you always want to do that?
Yeah, I definitely went into education because of Thailand. I thought it would definitely be a career path that I would strive in. So, yeah, I go to school at Emmanuel College, which is right next to Fenway for anyone that's from the Massachusetts area.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I think that you make an awesome teacher, so I'm excited for you.
Thanks.
So, going to school, dang, how has that been this year? Like, I can't even imagine going to school this year.
Yeah, so let's see, going backtracking a little bit. Last semester was weird because we went on spring break and basically we got like an email saying, hey, yeah, spring break's been extended probably like a week or 2 weeks. And so everyone was excited and everything. But then they were like, yeah, so you're not coming back. And then you got to come like clean out your dorm rooms and all this kind of stuff. And so like at first, like I feel like everyone was kind of like, well, like what the hell is going on and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was really weird. And then, I mean, it was pretty easy because I don't think like teachers and professors were really prepared for like, I mean, the virus, of course, and like how to like adjust to those things. But this semester definitely was a lot different. It was harder. It was in person and online. So it was really confusing and definitely felt like we were in Groundhog Day, basically. It was like the same day repeating itself and it got very tiring, I'm not gonna lie.
Dang, I can imagine. Now I'm also thinking of everyone that's like in high school and like all the hobbies and recitals that they do and like everything was canceled. I would have been so mad if like my senior year everything was canceled. That would have been horrible.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, I know I was friends with some seniors and they like didn't even get their graduation ceremony and all that kind of stuff. So I can't even imagine that. Yeah, definitely would have stunk.
Yeah. Something about this year though that I think everyone can relate to is it's been a toll on like our minds and our mental health. And like it's been interesting to talk to some of my friends and even family members who have never experienced that before or had to struggle with that before who now are, and they're like, what the heck is going on? Is that the case for you? Like, are you experiencing anything new this year?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I've had to like follow a routine. Normally I like in the past I wouldn't have to follow a routine, but definitely because I'm like kind of locked in here or like around the area, I have to like work out to make sure that my mind's like free and like clear. I have to like read, which I usually would never do because that's not who I am, which is kind of funny. But yeah, just like kind of like it's, but in a sense it's been like it's been a blessing in disguise because being by yourself, you learn a lot about yourself and you pick up hobbies that you thought you never would, and you really just learn a ton about yourself.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of people who tried new things that they've always wanted to try before, but they didn't because they didn't have the time. And well, 2020 definitely gave me the time to try some new things. but yeah, no, that's awesome that you realize that you need to like just stay busy with little things. I feel the same way. Like going from having a very busy scheduled life to suddenly not is, I don't work well with that. I like things to be busy, have some texture in my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, since we're on this topic, like, what is your experience with mental health?
Yeah, so I have an interesting experience with mental health. starting back from, let's see, where do I want to backtrack to? So yeah, probably like when I was younger, my family went through a divorce and I was very young. And having your family go through a divorce and being young can really like traumatize you in a sense when you're younger. So I kind of grew up through that. I didn't really have much of a relationship with my father. And so I lived with my mom my whole life. And that was awesome. It was fun. Like everything was great until I probably hit high school. High school, I kind of just didn't apply myself. I didn't get good grades, didn't get bad grades, but then like as like junior senior year came, I started getting bad grades, and it definitely like discouraged like my family, like my parents. They were very like disappointed and everything. But I mean, I still had like an opportunity for myself at this point because I was planning on enlisting in the military, which I did. I enlisted in the Air Force, and my job was security forces. And so I enlisted into the Air Force after I graduated high school, and it was fun. Like it was something that I wanted to do my whole life. My best friend and I, we since we were young, we wanted to be in the military, and it was kind of like a dream coming true. So it was kind of like in a sense, I was finally like had so many failures throughout like when my parents got divorced and all the way up to where I graduated high school because of like all the bad grades. And the military was in a sense like something that I was like doing that I could be proud of and also my family. But unfortunately, the military didn't last as long as I thought and hoped. I ended up being medically discharged from the military about like 3 months in because of anxiety. And like I never thought honestly that that would ever happen because I was so devoted and really just I was so driven by like my passion for the military when I was younger. I mean, I went through all these rigorous like Navy SEAL camps in Temecula, California. I did all these camps and trained myself. But the one thing I forgot to train was my mind, which is really, really important that I feel like a lot of people, in a sense, forget to train, which is probably the most important thing. You should train. And so, and it's and in a sense, when I was in military and boot camp and like going through all that process and everything, it wasn't like the boot. It wasn't like the drill instructors were mean to me, or it wasn't like anything like that. I think the anxiety came from being away from home, missing the people I love the most, and which was really weird for me. I never really came into a situation before this situation. So in result, like I mentioned before, it resulted in me getting a medical discharge from the military. And this is kind of where like I'll start like talking about like the true like pain, I guess, that like mental health issues can cause someone. So like when I came home, like I previously mentioned, I lived with my mom. Didn't really have much interaction with my father, wasn't in my life. And when I came home, my father was kind of like, yeah, so you're gonna start to live with me instead of your mom. Just because like nothing, well, nothing against your mom, kind of against your mom. I don't think you were raised right and all this stuff, which kind of stunk because it was like obviously I love my mom, but like in the sense that my father was basically saying, she failed you, and so let me take you into my hands and like foster you the way I want to.
So is that because he knew that you were struggling with anxiety?
No, I think that was because just he wanted some structure, or not structure, but I guess he wanted, I don't know, honestly, I think it was just that he really, really wanted to, like, I don't know, it wasn't because of mental health, but yeah, so I lived with my father, was not a fun time. I lived on the couch. I worked at a steel fabricating company from 7 o'clock until 3 in the afternoon. And then I went home, basically showered, and then went to another job from 5 o'clock until midnight. I did that 7 days a week for about 8 months. But it really shaped me. I had like nights where I would cry myself to sleep. There were nights where I would basically want to cry, but I couldn't cry because I've literally cried way too much. There were nights where I just like really wouldn't want to like be in this situation anymore, and I mean that in like a darker sense. And it was hard, yeah, it was really hard, but in a sense, it definitely shaped me into who I am today. I'm really proud of it. In the broader picture now is that like I can see in a sense what my dad was doing. It was more of like the you work your way up and you'll be proud of yourself and what you do and who you are. And I'm really happy that I was in that situation. I don't think I would be the person who I am today if my mom did like come back and like welcome me and basically like be a nurturing mother. But yeah, I mean, I had like a lot of mental health problems and I went to a therapist, which really helped weekly. And I eventually came across like this program to teach in Thailand where I eventually met you, which was funny. But like in a sense, sometimes I even ask myself this question today, was that accepting the teaching program in Thailand, was it really something that I wanted to do, or was it something that I wanted to, was it something that allowed me to run away from the situation that I was in right there? Because like I had fun and everything in Thailand. It was awesome. I met amazing people, learned a lot about myself. But in a sense, it was kind of like I was in limbo still.
Well, I mean,
But
Thailand
you
brought on its own little mental health issues. I mean, at least for me, I
Oh
went
yeah,
through a lot
absolutely.
while I was over there. But yeah, it's interesting to me that you went because, like, just hearing where you were before that, like, that takes a lot to move to a country by yourself. So that's kind of cool that you were able to
Yeah,
do that.
absolutely. Like my mom always talks about it. Like she's like, it's like crazy how like in a sense you had like separation anxiety from being away from the people you love the most, but yet you decided to go teach in Thailand or the other side of the country for a year, and you didn't get scared or anything. And I was like, no, like honestly, I mean, I would have came home, but only if you paid for my plane ticket for me to go back. No, I mean, I loved it. I asked my therapist the same question sometimes. Like, it was like, why did something spark my fight or flight when I was in the military and didn't spark when I was halfway around the world. And I don't think I'll ever know that question. Personally, I think it might be because I truly wanted to be there. I don't know if my heart was all in it when I was in the military, going through all that process and everything. And so I think that's a big factor.
No, I
Yeah,
think
I mean,
it's a huge difference when you want to be in a challenge or a situation and when you don't. 'Cause when you don't, like, I feel like you don't handle things as well. Like, your brain isn't as strong because you're just thinking about how you don't really want to be there.
yeah, absolutely. So like talking more about like how mental health shaped me into who I am today, I basically never wanted to be in that situation ever again where I was at my lowest, working literally nonstop for 8 months, just the worst jobs, basically having nothing to my name, no car to see your friends. Just literally, it was the lowest point in my life, and it shaped me. I'm like happy about it now. Wasn't happy then, I can tell you that much. But yeah, in a sense, fear drives me, which kind of like contradicts what you were talking about actually the other day. But yeah, fear drives me because I never want to be in that situation again. So I'm a lot wiser now because I'm never gonna put myself in the situations to be in that situation again. I'm always gonna work the hardest I possibly can.
I think you just helped me answer my question from yesterday. So, if
Yeah.
anybody who's listening and has no idea what we're talking about, I have been going live on Society Says, and yesterday I talked about, I opened up about how I was a lot more motivated younger, and just like mentally stronger, but it's because I was motivated by fear because of the household that I grew up in. But I think you just made me realize that you can kind of switch it and still be motivated by fear, but just like you don't want to go back to living a fearful life, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So going into this semester, I mean, I've like, well, even the past semesters, like I previously mentioned, I didn't apply myself in high school, so I just had a horrible, horrible GPA and basically had no opportunities to go to college unless it was community college, and that's mainly why, one of the main reasons why I enlisted in the military. So I basically was starting from the ground up. So when I came out of the military, well, when I came back from Thailand, I went to community college. I worked really hard because I had a goal. My goal was that I wanted to go to like a 4-year college, or it doesn't matter where. So I worked hard, really, really hard, ended up getting accepted to Emmanuel College, which is actually a really, really good liberal arts school in Boston. Came here. Met some amazing people, continued like my work ethic, and then continued that into this semester. And I'm actually putting myself into some insane opportunities that I never thought would happen, which are could be transferring to Penn State. I like if you asked me like 10 years ago if I would ever be going to college, I'd be like probably not. If you asked me 10 years ago if I was going or had the opportunity to go to Penn State, I'd like literally think you're lying. Like you're just like full of it.
Dang, and here you are. Seriously, it's been awesome to like know you from Thailand and see you grow over the past couple years. It's weird that it's been a couple of years now that I've known you, but it's been
Yeah, it
super
doesn't feel
awesome.
like it's been what, 2 years now?
I think
A little
so.
over.
Two and a half, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. But yeah, no, it's been super awesome. You've really been like dedicating yourself, and it's inspiring to me, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I think that it's really cool that you wanted to talk about this. I'm just curious, were you always open about talking about this, or did it take a while for you to get to that point?
No, I definitely wasn't always open. Honestly, I'm still not as open as I should be. It's really hard because I feel like in today's society, people judge you if you have the label of anxiety or depression or really anything. And like in a sense, that could like even affect like jobs if someone were to see that, or like see that you were diagnosed or something like that. But like no, I haven't been really open. I've told maybe like two or three friends like the true deep story about everything. And then everyone else, I kind of like dumb it down a little. But I wish I'm like starting to be more open about it. I've come into like the mentality that like who really cares? I mean, if I'm gonna tell someone like what I went through and they're like offended about it, or they feel like offended or like weird that I have like anxiety. Or like not depression, but like sometimes get depressive moods. Then like I just won't surround myself with those people, and I feel like a lot of people should be like that. It's like it's okay to like express how you feel, and I really hope more people eventually start or like feel more open to like telling people how they feel, because for the longest time I would always keep everything inside me. And it would just drive me insane, and then every now and then I would just have like an outburst and be horrible.
Yep, I still am guilty of doing that. I'm the same way. Even though I do open up a lot, like on my platform that I have, I still bottle up a lot because that's how much crap goes on inside my mind. But it's hard. It's hard to get to a point where you can feel comfortable with that. You know, like, I don't know. I'm someone that I hate feeling weak. And since society makes people with mental health issues feel weak, like it's hard not to feel that way, even though that's not even the case. Like, honestly, people who have mental health issues are probably stronger because they're living with it and they're dealing with it. They're fighting every single day. But like, that's not what how the world sees it. So I think it's cool that you are doing what you can at this time, and who knows, you know, how you'll feel in the future.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's really awesome. Let's see. So this is kind of broad, but through all of this that you just told us, what is one big thing that you've taken away from it, having like experiencing anxiety?
The biggest thing I've taken away from knowing I have anxiety, probably that I'm always gonna have it. There's nothing I can really do. It's just, oh, it's like, and it's not like I can control situations where it's just like gonna happen. So I've kind of like learned to live with it, deal with it, and like honestly, use it to my advantage in a sense sometimes. I think that throughout like the whole COVID and all these situations that we're all being thrown into, I feel like a lot of people kind of like learned about themselves, maybe like develop, like even like, I don't know, like, so like a big thing about myself was that like fueled my anxiety was that I had the biggest fear of being alone for the longest time. I did not want to be alone. And like, how COVID really helped me was that I learned to be alone. I learned how to like have fun with myself. Like I don't have to always be doing these things. I learned like hobbies. Yeah, so I don't know, like anxiety really shaped me into who I am today.
Yeah, no, I think that's an awesome answer. Yeah, you really tend to learn a lot about yourself when you're having, like, you're literally forced to like pay attention to yourself and like why you react certain ways and why stuff is happening and whatnot. It can definitely feel like overwhelming. I have for sure been going through my own little thing for the past like 2 months that has been different than the past. And you know, it's not always fun every single day, like constantly just looking inward and at yourself and like why you're reacting certain ways, why you feel certain ways. But it's very helpful because, you know, when things happen, like you can better evaluate yourself and better fight through difficult times. So
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like in a sense as well, it really helps me as a future educator because as me personally having it or like anxiety, I'll be able to like not like self-diagnose people that have it as my students and stuff, but like I know like as a student, there's a lot of students that have anxiety and stuff and different forms or shapes. And being a teacher that has anxiety as well, I can adjust to that. And it's just really helpful learning about yourself.
oh yeah, you'll be able to
Those
like
scenarios.
spot those kids probably. I mean,
Yeah.
you'll be able to tell which kids might need a little bit more help, and that's gonna be so helpful for them to have a teacher like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of want to like segue this into the whole concept of like working hard, but also like we're gonna fail from time to time. Just because like your story that you just told, like there was obviously a lot of things that like you worked towards, but maybe it didn't always work out. So I guess I don't know, like how do you look at failure?
Failure is the biggest teacher in my life. I mean, everyone f fails, but certain people get up from failure and certain people let failure define them. I didn't fold when I was at my lowest, when I was working nonstop, when I was basically crying myself to sleep every single night. I could have folded. I could have just lived in my dad's house and just worked like whatever, not cared. But I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think that everyone should care about their life because everyone's life is valuable. And if you, I think the most important thing is you want to see what your potential is. You want to see where that can go. And so I didn't fail. I worked hard. I showed up every single day, early sometimes for those jobs. And it was hard. I mean, working 7 to 3:30, 5 to midnight every single day for 8 months. It was hard. It was really hard. And I still showed up. Is if you just have to keep showing up when you fail. Just keep showing up and you'll eventually get to where you want to be. You'll when you keep showing up, you'll start getting like small victories. And those small victories end up piling into each other, creating bigger victories, and you'll start to be more proud of yourself and you'll see the progress, you'll see the growth. And I think that's so powerful because without failure, I wouldn't be where I am today. Without failure, I wouldn't have the relationships with my family today. Without failure, I have a good relationship with my father now. And so it really can shape you. So it, I definitely would say failure is probably one of the most important things that's ever happened to me.
I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, I think failure is so important too. It's such like a huge way to learn and grow because it's kind of like how people talk about how you don't know what happiness is unless you feel the opposite. You feel sad and you feel lost. It's the same way. Like you can only see your growth and really like acknowledge that if you fail and you learn. So
Yeah, absolutely. Like actually for this semester as an education major, we had to write a I am poem. And I wrote it about myself and my failures. And I actually really love this poem about myself. And actually the last line is the best, but I mean, I can read it for you if you would like.
definitely read it.
All right, so it's called I Am, Christopher Altomare. I am a young man that wants to get the most out of life. I am someone that has turned his failures into life's greatest gifts. I grew up not knowing who I wanted to be, not putting my best effort forward in high school. I grew up wanting to serve in the military to make myself and my family proud. I grew up with the military being one of my only career paths due to my effort. I am a young man who joined the military but didn't serve as long as I hoped. I'm a young man who received medical discharge from the military and watched all my dreams and hard work disappear. I felt the feeling of loss and despair. I felt broken and scared for what my future held, scared because of all my failures. I am a young man who decided to not let my failures define me. I am a young man that traveled across the world and taught English in Thailand. I am a young man that found pure joy in educating students and watching them grow. I put my best effort into community college. I worked hard to create opportunities, and I witnessed my hard work pay off. And now I go to school in Boston. I am a young man who thinks of the person I was 3 years ago. I think about all the mental pain I fought through to get to where I am today. I am a young man that sometimes cries tears of joy because I'm proud of myself, for never quitting, for realizing my pain shaped me, for appreciating the little things in life. I am a young man that knows anything in life worth doing is worth overdoing. I'm a lover. I'm a fighter. I'm a young man that knows I will fail again, but this time I'll be more prepared. So I felt like that's like a cool poem that can intertwine with like how we talk about failure. And I know, and my family tells me this all the time, is that I will fail again. No matter, it might be financially, it might be in my studies, it might be anything. You're gonna fail again in life and you're gonna continue to fail, but you just gotta get up and you have to learn how to be more prepared for the next time you do fail. So.
That was awesome. Seriously, that's really cool. That like seriously motivated me so much hearing that. Yeah, no, thank you. So I have just one more question on this topic, and of course you can say more on this topic as well. But it's a little bit broad and maybe we've already kind of covered it, but I kind of just wanted to narrow down on this question, and that is, what was it like when you were working hard every day and, showing up, and you were going from that low point all the way to where you are now?
It was hard. At first, you don't have the motivation to do anything. You feel like you're just going through the motions. And if someone's ever been in my shoes before or is going through my shoes right now, you will just go through the motions for a while. But that's okay. You need time to grieve, or you need time to process like everything that's happening in your life. And I mean, for me, when I was working at a steel fabricating company, and it's horrible. I mean, it's where people grind metal. It's like so many like disgusting chemicals in the air. Everyone's dirty. There's welding going on. And it was my cousin's company, and so I would just be like the grunt. I'd be like scrubbing the most disgusting bathrooms. I'd be grinding metal, literally anything he wanted, I would have to do. And but like that's I mean that's part of it. I mean, you might have to do some really not so fun things for a while, and then you'll eventually like snap out of it. Not snap out of it, but you'll come to sense, and you'll be like a little bit more proud. You'll feel like things are starting to come together again. But yeah, no, at first it'll suck, really suck. I mean, the biggest contributor that helped me get through my hard times was actually music. I would play music while I was doing all these like horrible, horrible, boring, disgusting jobs. And that really helped me. I mean, I feel like when you are going through something hard, find something small, something that you can do to help motivate you, I guess. But eventually, like I mentioned, you'll start getting better. And then you might take one step backwards, but then you'll continue to get better. It's not going to be one easy ride up the mountain. You're going to keep going down. You're just going to keep plateauing, and then go up and down and up and down plateau. And it's going to be all over the place. So like my mom talks about it all the time. She's like, "You really were on the like craziest roller coaster of your life, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah, I really was." And even now, I mean, like, I still keep going up. We all should be striving to go up, but you're gonna go down sometimes too, and so it's gonna be hard. So you just have to figure out what's your why, like why you want to be here. Why you do what you do, what motivates you. And basically like I previously mentioned before, that my why is I never want to be in that situation again. It's hard, it sucks. And people look down at you. People think that, oh, this kid's just going to be there for the rest of his life. And they can say that. They can say that if they want. It's up to you and what you do to define what you want to do. Prove those people wrong. And then once you're prove them wrong, then you'll have the last laugh, and they'll be like, "Oh wow, you really did prove me wrong," and it'll be the greatest feeling in the world. So
Yeah, no, I mean that's life. Like literally, if it was just a straight line upward, like, I mean, what fun is there in that? There is no like feeling of accomplishment. I feel like you have to have that up and down. Like that just brings texture to your life. That's just how it's gotta be. Is there anything else that you want to say on failure? Or I felt like that was a really good wrap on that. I really like that. Maybe that's it.
yeah.
Cool. Well, if there's not like anything else that you want to discuss while you were on here, then I am just going to ask that you, if there's any like last minute pieces of advice or wisdom that you have for the people listening today, that would be your time to share right now.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, the last thing I would end with is that out of everything I talked about, the key things I hope you take away is that it's okay if you're going through something hard. Everyone goes through something hard, whether they want to admit it or not. It's okay to fail. Failure's the greatest teacher. People might judge you if you fail. People might say, oh, this kid's dumb, this kid's stupid, but prove them wrong. That's up to you to define your life. We only have one life. And so if you're going through something, keep going through it because it's only going to get better in the end.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining today. Like, I loved talking with you today, talking about these very important things that people need to be reminded of. So, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with my friend Staria. I love your content and everything, so it's awesome to be here.
You're a great supporter. I love it. All right, guys. Well, for anybody who is listening, I hope you guys took those things away today that I can help you to find some motivation to understand that, you know, you're worth a lot, and those failures that you go through, don't be too hard on yourself because that's supposed to happen. It's life. And use those things to grow. So you guys are awesome. Each and every one of you guys that are listening, I appreciate all of you, and don't forget to tune in next week for a new episode. See ya.
Thank you.